Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this. Talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Never underestimate the sea.
Good day and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. It's me, Simon Cardy, with Joe Scrabbles.
Hello.
Hello. Jesse.
Hello. I love the pause for my name. It's very, very cool.
You know what? It deserved punctuation and it got it.
Jesse, can I just say, I really like your hair at the moment. I know this is an audio medium, so no one can know, but I think your hair's very nice and I haven't said it yet.
You can actually see the direct product of that in terms of if you watch the latest IGN Now going out today, yesterday, you'll be able to see what Joe's talking about.
All about stocks. We're not going to be talking about stocks, because no. They're boring.
No, because we're talking about stonks, baby. It's the new fresh thing.
We've got a right old mix of games to talk about this week. People actually may be wondering why Joe didn't compliment me on my hair. That would be because I look an absolute state.
Yes, unfortunately, you look like... I actually don't know what... You look like a sort of explosion.
Some sort of, I don't know, Assassin's Creed, Valhalla, NPC in Shropshire somewhere.
You know when you see those like materials where... There's like a little tiny petri dish and someone drops like one drop of water in it and then it like grows in a disgusting eldritch shapes.
Is that how you're describing Cardi's hair?
Eldritch hair.
That's your hair.
It's unkempt. It's long and bird's nesty.
It's just the COVID style, baby. That's what you do.
It's not all about that COVID style, is it? But yeah, it is out now, actually, almost a full year since I've had a haircut.
That's really price efficient.
That's like my old days.
I did shave yesterday, though, so, you know, baby steps.
I did realise that.
Yes. Good.
Anyway, let's talk about Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. Joe. Mm. Not only do you love this Wii U game, but you've got to bloomin' play it again on a Switch.
I know. Genuinely, it's been an absolute delight coming back to this game. I forgot how much I loved it. And it's one of those ones where it was the first Mario game, I think I'm right in saying, it's the first like 3D Mario game I ever worked on.
It's the first Mario game.
It's the first 3D Mario game I ever worked on professionally. So it's got like a real nostalgia to it as well. Like we used to do when I was back on Official Nintendo Magazine, we did like huge hands-on 6-page previews of it based on like 10 minutes of play or like trailers and stuff. And there's so much about it that's tied up in my memories. So like coming back to it felt very cool, and it really holds up for me. It's a Wii U game, but I think Mario games more than a lot of things, particularly recent ones, the art design just really works, and it doesn't feel old in that way. And it's also weird. Like, it's a weird experiment, and it's based on the ideas brought about in like a throwaway 3DS game they made. And so for them to expand it out into like this giant console game was always a bizarre thing to do in the first place. So it has this quite strange singular position in Mario series history.
I remember enjoying it. I have a Wii U, but I only ever had like 4 games for it and barely ever paid it. It's basically a big waste of like £200 when I bought it that I didn't really have. So I do kind of regret that. But this was one of the games I did play. I can't remember if I ever finished it, but I do remember thinking this is very good. It is. And that is the thing. I think people kind of forget about this one, mainly because people forget about the Wii U in general.
Yeah.
To their cost.
exactly. It is just a very good 3D Mario game, and that's never a bad thing.
No. And I think the interesting thing as well, it came, you know, you put this in the context of recent Mario history, and this came smack bang in the middle of them doing all these new Super Mario Brothers games that I think with hindsight, I think people don't have hugely fond memories of the new Super Mario games. I think there's good ideas in those, but that attempt to like modernize 2D feels so much better in 3D world, where it's taking the idea of a 2D course and then like just extruding into a whole other literal dimension. And the feeling of like, I have to get from left to right, basically, in the old style, but there's so much hidden around corners and plays with perspective and does things. There's one bit called, I think it's Shadow Play Alley, and you play half the course as just the silhouettes of the characters off screen. And it's constantly doing these like very strange little things that, you know, a platformer with a less confident developer just wouldn't fucking bother with, because it's an idea that there's no point in other than it just is a cool idea. And it's that real old school Mario thinking of like just idea. We're going to keep maybe three of these throughout the game and the rest are just chucked to the side. And I fucking love it.
Would you say for someone whose favorite Mario game was Odyssey, and I'm basically just asking for myself here because I never really agreed with the 2D Mario games, just never really got on with them. They weren't my thing, but Mario Odyssey was the first like Super Mario game I ever completed and just absolutely loved. Do you think this upcoming re-release / new DLC is like not really a continuation of that, but that would be interesting
well
for me, wouldn't
I'll,
it?
If you let me segue very nicely, which is basically 3D World is a very much the thing it has always been, which is, you know, an experiment in what does 2D do as a 3D product. But Bowser's Fury is properly weird. Like, I think I didn't go this far in my own preview, but some places have been saying, like, this is the strangest Mario experiment for years, because people expected this to be an expansion. When it first came out, we called it an expansion, and that's always what it seemed to be. It seemed like it's built in the engine, it's going to be more of those ideas, like, they'll do new stuff, but, you know, it's going to be that thing. It's not. It's built like an Odyssey Kingdom.
Yeah.
So I'm not allowed to talk about the wider structure yet, according to embargoes, but what I can tell you is that the bit I'm allowed to talk about is a set of little areas in an open, what, a semi-open world, each with a lighthouse in the middle, and each of those areas has cat shines, which is a reference to Super Mario Sunshine, which is a whole other thing. Right. You collect 5 cat shines and those things pop up the lighthouse and make it brighter and brighter, and can occasionally like clear new bits of the world to find, or when Fury Bowser, who we'll get to, turns up, collecting cat shine makes the lighthouse shine on him, and that turns him away and stops his attacks.
Right.
So you've got this like Odyssey structure of collecting stuff in an open world, lets you move on to other bits of open world, presumably. I'm not allowed to say what happens, because fundamentally that's actually not it. It's weird.
As to how it actually plays and controls, because in my mind, Odyssey was like very refined compared to Galaxy and Sunshine in terms of how it controls. Does it still feel like, sounds weird, does it still feel like you're playing that 2D mixed with 3D, or is it like as refined as Odyssey?
It's definitely closer to 3D World. Like, it's less of, Mario's a bit less fluid. He's a bit more set around like specific jumping moves, whereas Odyssey was a lot more freeform.
Yeah.
The difference between this and 3D World is that addition of like a fully free camera and a wide open area kind of just fundamentally changes how you play with those moves. So it's definitely not quite as free. But the really interesting stuff to me is like, it's a massive reference to Sunshine. Like, you're clearing up ooze. Bowser Jr. is there with a magic paintbrush, which is a thing in Sunshine. You're collecting shines. It's a super tropical thing. They're really making a concerted effort to be like, this is kind of like Sunshine, which is something they've never returned to, because loads of people fucking hate Sunshine. And the other interesting thing is Fury Bowser, who's a big boss who turns up every few minutes as a timed event. So you're walking around in the open world, then it will start raining, and then 30 seconds later that rain means that Fury Bowser's going to turn up. It turns into a thunderstorm, and he starts firing attacks at you.
It's almost like Zelda. They're almost bringing Zelda.
It's the Blood Moon. He is basically a Blood Moon.
That's really cool.
And what he does is, A, he attacks you, but some of his attacks also are the only things that can break certain blocks, so you need to have him attack you to find certain secrets. Other things are a bunch of friendly NPCs become enemies while he's there. And he also drops giant spikes that turn into new platforms that can lead you to different places or give you different places to go to. So it does all this like wild shit that Mario doesn't do.
So you're being like strategic with Bowser's attack, knowing exactly where you need to go and just using him to your benefit, essentially.
And then the idea being that you collect enough cat shines to unlock the Giga Bell, which is the thing that we've all seen with, that's Cat Mario turn into a giant Super Saiyan Kaiju Cat Mario.
That sounds awesome.
And that's where my preview ends. So I,
right.
Like, but you, the idea is that you have a big fight with Bowser.
Yeah.
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 It's like Godzilla versus Kong, which looks kind also of very mad. Are you, A, allowed to say, or B, even have a grasp on, like, how much extra content that is, Bowser's Fury?
I'm not allowed to say, and I don't have a full grasp. I purposely, like...
Yeah.
I purposely haven't played too much.
Yeah.
So that I can't accidentally screw myself over with the embargo.
Fair enough.
Smart.
But the... Nintendo specifically have said it's short. And what that means to me... My section of the preview, I reckon I played for about half an hour, maybe. And I certainly didn't collect everything. So,
Is it just one big map?
I can't even guess, but... Huh?
Is it just one big map with, like, different bits?
Yeah, it's one big map. The bit I got to play is... It's hard to tell, but it feels like it's a portion of a map. But I really don't know. Like, the speed at which you get to the Bowser battle leads me to believe that there's going to be more, but I have no actual idea. Cool. But yeah, like... It's just, it's a really bizarre thing, and I love that that's what they've done with it. They haven't just gone, let's stick an extra bit on. Like, it's just, they've given a Mario team the opportunity to make a tiny new Mario game, and that's fucking awesome.
When is it out again?
It's out soon. I can't remember. Soon. February something, 3D World Remake.
Not too far off then, basically.
No. Yeah. I've still got Sunshine and Galaxy to play on my Switch as well.
February 12th.
So might have a Mario month next month.
I did want to ask, though, is it couch co-op? Because girlfriend and I have almost finished with Toad Treasure Tracker, and we've loved that, so we're just looking for...
Yeah, so they're both couch co-op.
That's awesome.
3D World is up to four people, including online. Bowser's Fury is just two people.
That sounds perfect.
But yeah, that'll be fine.
Exactly what,
like,
I want.
I think it's a really nice thing. It's kind of odd they haven't gone with four players in both, given the package. But they, I mean, that more than anything, that shows you what they're doing, which is these are two separate games. Like, we've just given you an extra game for your money, which is extremely cool.
It'll tide us over until Odyssey 2, which I desperately want, and still surprised there's no expansion. I say this every time. Why isn't there extra worlds? What are they doing? Don't they want my money?
Same with Mario Party. How have they not added extra maps or modes on that?
There's not been a new Mario Kart in, what, 5-6 years? Like, the Wii U Mario Kart is the Switch Mario Kart.
But if I was Mario, if I was the Mario Kart team, I'd be fucking terrified of trying to improve on Mario Kart 8. That game is fucking amazing.
It has every map ever. Just too much.
Just Smash Bros. Ultimate.
That's
true.
Do you think we'll ever get... Because you were talking about the old school Marios, and obviously there's Mario Maker. Do you think we'll ever get a 3D Mario Maker?
I think we're much more likely to get a 2D Zelda Maker than we are a 3D Mario Maker. I think the problem is that a 2D Mario Maker lets you do everything 2D Mario could do and more without too much help. Whereas a 3D Mario Maker, there are so many different versions of what 3D Mario means that I think you're ultimately only going to disappoint some sections of your audience. And so much of Nintendo's thing isn't built on, like, traditional business sense. It's built on, like, the artistic value they bring to stuff, which is good and bad. But I think they would shy away from anything that couldn't go full quality on Mario.
You can do that in Dreams anyway.
You can do it in Dreams. I played a Dreams a Dreams map the other day that started off like Mario 64, but as soon as you walk into the castle, there's a giant Wario head that will always catch you, and it's fucking horrible.
It's like that creepypasta thing I've seen.
It's really odd.
Cool. I am very excited for more Mario, because more Mario is always a good thing.
Same.
I've got a question for you, Jesse. Out today, if you're listening to this, yesterday, you may have already played it. The first actual Xbox Series X/X exclusive, The Medium, from Bloober is out. A horror game. Jesse, you like those?
I do like horror games, but I don't
like
the medium.
Do you like this one? Oh, that's a shame.
I'm not kidding when I say I'm severely disappointed with the medium. And it's not what I was actually expecting. When I first saw that trailer, when they showed it off of the Series X, just there wasn't any gameplay revealed, but it looked really, really cool. And everyone's been, you know, clamoring for like a Silent Hill-like experience. Mm-hmm. And then when you hear Akira Yamaoka is working on the soundtrack, it's like, wow, this, you know, you might have some high hopes for this one. And then that extended gameplay reveal came out, and then I was just like, it was like a graph just going all the way downhill. Like, my hype kind of died just because it looks really slow and it didn't look like it was for me. And then I finished it 6 hours afterwards when I got my hands on it, and it's just, it's all over the place, to be honest.
That's so sure. So what is, like, the actual
story?
Gameplay loop for people?
Oh, like, well, in terms of actually playing, it can really be boiled down to, you are exploring a rundown Soviet era paradise resort place. You're picking up items and you're gaining the memories of the people who used to live there, whilst sometimes occasionally solving very basic puzzles and experiencing a few chases with monsters.
So there's no combat or anything?
No, I mean, there is like defense mechanisms in the game. So essentially you're playing as a character called Marianne, and she, imagine her as like a ferryman between the world of the living and the world of the dead, and she's like ushering people to, you know, their final stop, essentially. And with her powers, not only can she enter this kind of split reality world, but sometimes she might have to defend herself, so she's able to cast like an energy bubble around her, and that might be to stop a tentacle hitting you or some moths. And that's really the extent of it.
Not the moths, not your lovely woolen jumper. That's how you get torn
I know.
To ribbons.
Like, have you guys played it yet?
I haven't played it, no. And I'm ashamed. Not ashamed.
It's ashamed of the game.
I'm ashamed. No, it's a shame to hear it isn't, that you didn't enjoy it, because I was actually looking forward to it. And I just thought, from the original trailer, I thought the aesthetic looked really cool. I love the idea of, you know, the split world, the whole, whatchamacallit, Titanfall 2, what's the level called?
I can't remember what it's called. The time travel
split,
one.
The split reality time travel thing.
Crack in the Slab,
that's
the Dishonored one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Crack in the Slab's the Dishonored one, but similar idea.
There we go. And basically, I really like that idea, but cause
and effect.
Like,
sorry.
There
you
cause
go.
And effect. Yeah,
cause and effect.
It sounds like you're not really, it's, the way you've described it, you don't really do much.
It's not utilized all too well. Like, when it does happen, it's really just for the purpose of solving a few puzzles. And you saw it in the extended gameplay as well. There was a part where I think you have to go up for an elevator, except the elevator power isn't working, so then you need to enter the split reality to find a like a power module and power up the elevator and stuff. But it really just it boils down to just being too slow and quite boring with no stakes involved, and that's just not what you want with a horror game. And here's the thing, like, you can have horror games which are quite slow paced. You look at a game like Franbo or The Cat Lady. Those deal with heavy topics, and, you know, they're point and click and stuff. And this is the weird thing with like horror games, they're more focused on thematics rather than gameplay. When we all saw that trailer, we didn't really know what to anticipate in terms of gameplay, because, you know, you can say it's a horror game, and that could be a first person game, it could be a visual novel, it could be a walking simulator. But then when the medium came out, it was just, it infuriated me when I was like halfway through it,
because
if you,
they're like, I haven't honestly haven't played many of their games, but I know, Joe, you're a big Bloober fan. Like, they genuinely make good games.
It's a shame to see this happen. They are controversial though. Like, I think some people do really take against them. And honestly, the stuff I've liked most from Bloober, I have to say, I haven't played Blair Witch. But my favourites from them were the first Layers of Fear and Observer, which are both very similarly dealt with games. Like, they are something along the lines of a walking simulator, but with light puzzling built in, and they're all about atmosphere. Like, my favorite bits of those games are often when they're much, much quieter. They're not going for full horror. It's more like building you into the world. So there's an amazing bit of Layers of Fear that I think is genuinely like sticks in my head. What's that thing going around at the moment? Lives in your head rent free. That's what's happening to me. Where you walk into a basement room and there's just a piano in the middle of the room surrounded by tat, and you go up and the only option to do is press one button on the piano, and you press it, and like silently around you, everything begins floating and there's no explanation for it. It's just really odd and eerie. And yeah. those are the moments I think Bloober get really right. And Layers of Fear 2, I didn't catch me in the same way because it was built much more on like a gameplay loop or like puzzles built into the world. And it sounds like the medium's kind of showing a little of Bloober's sort of faults with like straight up gameplay design.
Yeah, it's weird because it feels like you're playing a game from quite a few years ago that just never really came out. And this thing, when you start the medium, like the overall setting, like 1980s Poland, like the Soviet-esque building that you're exploring, and the game does look good at times, but even then, a lot of the performances and even facial animations can sometimes be quite poor and just take you out of the moment, which is obviously when the story is so important in a game like this, it's a shame, really. And in terms of the story as well, when you're exploring like this, you know, rundown paradise and trying to like restore the lives of some of the people within, that's what I wanted the game to focus on. But then it takes a weird turn surrounding one of the characters, and it involves like a subject matter that's, I don't think, handled particularly well. I don't want to spoil it, but when it does occur, you'll know when it happens. And that really took me out of it because it felt like it handled itself poorly.
Yeah. And we would say there are some good reviews out there. Some people do really like it, and they may be more on the Joe side of they like the atmosphere it builds and are not necessarily there for the game it is.
It's worth pointing out that our, you know, IGN's review is very positive. Like, all opinions are welcome.
Exactly. It just may not be the game that some people think it is by looking at that first trailer, which I think is a valid thing. Like, it's not the game I thought it was, basically. Yeah. And two words did scare me more than anything, Jesse. I don't know if you can confirm this for me. Tank controls.
Oh, man. It got me a few times at the start. Like, this is the thing. Like, people...
Why are we making tank control games in 2021
That's what I'm saying. Why it feels just a bit, like... It feels old in terms of how it actually plays. And especially the stealth segments as well. They just... They feel uncomfortable. Not because, like, you're scared when you're playing it. Just because it... I got so angry at times because of how slow Marianne runs throughout the entire game. And if you end up playing it, you'll notice it too. But especially during the stealth segments, they just don't feel like they play particularly well. And there's no stakes involved when it comes to actually hiding away from these monsters. It's not the horror game I was looking forward to playing, but if you're in it for the atmosphere and the story, then there might be something for you, but don't...
We should say also, it's on Game Pass, so if you have an Xbox, you most likely have Game Pass.
Yeah,
you
might as well...
Free, so why not?
Yeah, you might as well give it a go. Just don't expect anything in terms of... Just don't expect you're going to play, like, you know, the indie version of Silent Hill or something.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what people were expecting, and it's not that. Yeah. But it could still be something you like. You know? A lot of people, when they meet me, they're like, this isn't what I was expecting, but I'm going to give you a chance.
Despite.
Sometimes they never speak to me again.
Despite your terrifying hair.
Look, sometimes it looks luscious on those 1 in 10 days.
I like it. I should say, I'm a fan of your hair. I'm just being mean for the sake of lols.
No, I'm not saying, I'm not taking it, but I just come in tomorrow, shaved it all off and cry.
Like that thread going round of all the footballers who've been made bald through Photoshop. Just suddenly like, I've got to do it.
Just got to be done now. I played a game last week that I reviewed called Nuts, which is a game I wouldn't be surprised you hadn't heard of because I don't think many people have. It's a small indie game that is out now on Apple Arcade, if you have Apple Arcade, and is out next week on Switch and PC. If you have one of those. It's a short, maybe 3-hour game, I think, from memory, that is basically, if you're a fan of Firewatch, it's got that, I know that's kind of, whenever there's like an atmospheric, cool-looking indie game that short people go, it's like Firewatch. This one kind of very much is. It's not just a lazy comparison. You're in a forest, you've been sent there as a research student at a university to catalogue and surveil some squirrels in a forest.
See, that just sounds cute and just relaxing.
It is a relaxing game. It's, you know, there's more to it than that. There's a story they're telling that, you know, has some dark undercurrents. It's not, you know, I'm going to tell people now, don't go in there expecting a full-on horror. You're not going to get it. but it's a very... I enjoyed it. I gave it a 7. It's an enjoyable... quite calming game that, yeah, takes 2-3 hours to play. It's got a very nice art style that's very bold and colourful. It's cross-processed, if you know what cross-processing is. It's a very hard art style to explain.
Is that how Obra Dinn looks? Yourself. It's not like that, is it?
It's a little Obra Dinn-y. That's more based on old computers.
Yeah, Obra Dinn's one bit, isn't it?
I am a fool.
Or like fake one bit.
Yeah.
Basically, how you trap these squirrels is it's kind of, they're like miniature puzzles, like each level you're in an area and you have a series of cameras you can set up. And in you're given the rough location of where the squirrel starts its journey each night.
Mm.
And then during the day, you place your cameras in the positions you think are logical places. Then you press record on the cameras, it transports you to nighttime. And then you basically you scrub through the footage from, I don't know, 30 seconds to a minute's worth each time.
Yeah.
And you basically track where those squirrels go. And then you the next day, you move the cameras and try and basically track those squirrels to find out where they go each night. Luckily, these squirrels do exactly the same thing every night, so they're never varying off course.
Did you see anything creepy when playing back the footage?
Well, it's in the trailer. I'll say very early on in the game, you do track a squirrel all the way back to its little nest of its little stash of nuts. And, you know, scattered amongst the nuts is a pile of dynamite. What are the squirrels up to? Is it the squirrels? Are the squirrels evil? This is what we've got to work out. I'm not going to tell you because the whole, you know, the main joy of this game is what the hell is going on here.
Yeah.
But it's just different, and I liked it. And it, do you know what? I'd also like to say it's a testament to people working remotely because this got made during lockdown. It was being made before lockdown, but it's like, it was like coded and created in Iceland, like the writers from Denmark, all the art design was done in Canada, and all the sound design was recorded in Germany. So there's these four, like, it's all come together remotely like this. I think it was created at one of those game jams in Iceland.
A worldwide project come together.
Yeah. It's a very nice, relaxing game that I would, you know, it's good. It's by no means, you know, I was tired a bit of the gameplay loop by the end. You're kind of doing the same thing you're doing at the start for about 3 hours, but they do, there's little nuances on it, and it's a well-told story with a fun little ending. So,
I mean, that's what you want, really. It sounds very pleasant.
Yeah. Have a look at it if you so desire. I'm feeling sinister today.
Just be happy.
Don't know. You can be happy and sinister.
Just be bloody happy.
You can be a happy man who's sinister. I mean, I'm trying to name one.
Don't stress yourself too much over it, Cardi.
The Baron from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, he's laughing. He's also quite sinister.
Classic.
That's what I went for.
Bit of film like that.
Should we play a quiz?
Yeah.
Why not? Inside. It's the UK IGN crew. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search?
We asked for your endless search games, and you know what? We got quite a few good ones. This week, though, I have picked Ollie Hunters. Well done, Ollie Hunter. Can we get a round of applause for these?
Just not too Ollie loud. Hunter. I don't think that really came through the microphone, but there you go.
It kind of sounded like you were smacking your lips.
I was going to say, it just sounded like we all started furiously masturbating.
I'm sorry, Ollie. But Ollie's written in and says, all right, gents, love the pod, blah, blah, blah. My completely original idea for an endless search, completely not ripped off from another IGN pod, I believe he's talking about GameScoop here, is I got 21 questions to go.
Yes,
which
please.
Is a great name because not only does it play on our garage heritage, but it's also a great name for a quiz. Basically, we're playing 20 questions with games. Ollie, you did suggest with shows and films on streaming services. I'm going to do it with games this time, but it's a malleable game, which, you know, there's a reason this is a long-standing game. One we've never actually played, which maybe we've just never taken the easy road, but now we definitely are.
Well, it's that we've never taken the easy road of copying another IGN podcast wholesale.
But you know what? They only do one a show. we're going to do three games.
Dude,
we're going to do quick fire. If you don't know how, it's normally called 20 questions. We're doing 21 questions because, obviously, the garage links.
That's what they do.
Who wants to be Romeo?
Oh, Romeo Dunn. I'm going to shout that if I win.
But basically, you'll take turns at asking yes or no questions about a game, and I will say yes or no. And then after each question, you can each guess a game. You'll have one guess each after I've answered that question, and you basically have to narrow it down within 21 questions what the game is that I have thought about. So I've got three games here.
Right. So as an example, I could say, is this an Xbox 360 game? And you could say...
And it would say yes or no. Wow. You may want to be a bit more specific.
Yeah, I will.
I've listened to a few episodes of Game Scoop, and, you know, sometimes there's misleading questions you can ask. But we will start with game number one. And do you know what, Jesse? You can ask the first question.
Is this game an RPG?
No. No.
Was this game released for the... or during the last console generation?
No.
Hello.
So you could take a guess whenever you want, but, you know, if you're not really going to get it from that. But you only get 1 point whenever you guess, so...
Is this game open world?
No.
Is this game considered a classic?
I would say so. I don't think anyone would contest that. That's four questions.
Is it first person?
Yes.
Interesting.
So a non-RPG first person classic not made in the last generation.
Is this game's primary interaction shooting things?
See, that... I would say no. No, it is not.
Okay.
And that is one that may be a contestation, but I don't think... I think you'll understand.
Can you commandeer vehicles in this game?
No. That is seven questions.
Am I allowed to guess?
Yeah.
Is this game Portal?
It is Portal.
Yes!
Shit.
See, technically, you have a gun the whole time, but you're not shooting.
Shooting things. But that was what gave it away.
Yeah,
to me.
I know.
Although the hesitation on saying is this game considered a classic is confusing to me.
Well, I think it is, but I was trying to think: are we considering classics are more than like 20 years old? Or
no,
something?
No, but surely everyone loves Portal.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you agree. That's 1 point to Joe. We've got two more games.
I can't believe I only get 1 point for guessing it so early.
50 Look, points for you, Joe.
Otherwise, Thank it's you. Just a pointless game. We're just making it interesting, keeping it interesting. Attempting to, anyway. Okay, second game.
Mm.
Please go. Joe starts this time, sorry.
Okay. There are questions you just should ask, but I really want to ask like something really fucking stupid. Is the box art for this game mainly red?
No.
Okay.
I say no, but there is some red on it.
No, but it's not mainly red. That's good.
No. You're basically thinking, is it Red Dead?
No, not specifically.
Did this game score an age rating of 18?
No.
I love the idea of scoring an 18. Yes! We did it! Is this game considered a classic?
Yes.
Cool.
Did this
I feel
game...
like I should just anticipate that they're all going to be considered classics.
Mm. Well, yeah, you don't know.
Did this That's game get questions. A 7 or higher from IGN?
Oh, for God's sake. Right, let me have a look.
Got him.
You just never know. I would say I think so or I don't think so.
I need to listen to your keystrokes so I can figure out exactly what game I'm talking about.
I may have shortcut it. Yes, it did. That's four questions.
Was this game released during the last console generation?
No. So angry there, Joe.
I know.
Was this game released on multiple platforms?
That's a good one. That's a
good question.
You need to know.
No, it wasn't. Which means you've narrowed it down a little.
Is this a Nintendo game?
Yes.
As in, I mean developed by Nintendo.
Okay, no.
Okay, we got him.
Some of these I will have to look up, but yeah, no, it definitely wasn't. 7 questions there.
Is this an RPG?
No. 8 questions. I kind of give you a hint there of. You kind of got 2-in-1 there with Joe's question.
Is this game GoldenEye?
It is GoldenEye.
Yes!
I didn't think you'd get it that early.
I was thinking classic Nintendo-only game with a non-Nintendo developer. And Rare felt like an easy one.
How are you so good, Joe?
The right one.
And then I just think Cardi loves a bit of GoldenEye. Or loved.
I never had an N64, so...
But really? Was it... Because I didn't have an N64 during the big times for the N64. In fact, I never had an N64.
What year was the N64 released? Like, what were the big times?
GoldenEye was like 97, wasn't it?
I thought GoldenEye was 96, but you might be right.
I was but a baby.
It is 97. Yeah. I have the Wikipedia page.
Well done. Oh, yeah.
But it is 2-0 to Joe, but you know what? We'll do the third one so Jesse just so Joe can win again. Humiliate himself.
Yep.
You get to go first this time, Jesse, with a third of 3 games.
Was this game released by Capcom?
No, it was not.
Does this game feature a single set protagonist?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, I think I'm just trying to understand the question you're asking.
Well, like Bond.
Yes,
in
you play
GoldenEye.
As one person the whole time.
Can you eat food in this game?
No.
Why has that stopped me? Is this.
I don't know any games where you don't eat food.
Was this game released on a PlayStation platform?
Yes.
Not that. It's not actually that useful a question, is it?
A lot of games are released on
a Yeah.
Does this game take place within America?
No.
Is this game considered a classic?
Yes.
Yeah, just making sure.
Yeah, he's got the answer now.
Six questions there. You've got it within 8 both times, so it's good. Go ahead. 2 more, though, to keep that up.
Yeah, I'm worried about this one.
I mean, you have started with some quite ridiculous questions.
I've actually forgotten the answers to most of the previous ones.
If it was a Capcom game where you ate food, you'd be well in.
I mean, what would it be?
Rezzy? Can you eat food in Rezzy?
I suppose herbs.
Oh, fuck, I can't think of one.
6 questions, sir. So it's a classic that came out on a PlayStation. That's what we know.
Okay. Did this game score a 9 or above on IGN?
Jesus Christ. Yes.
I'm just going to try and go for the within 8, just in case.
Yeah.
Is this game Final Fantasy VII?
It is not.
Oh,
thank God.
See, if I'm being harsh, that should count as one of your questions.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, okay, we're doing it. That's the question. 8 means it's Jesse's.
Is this game Uncharted 3?
No, are we just doing this for the next 11?
I just need to go for a guess, you never know.
You never know, you might get lucky. That's 9 questions there. Got a PlayStation game that's considered a classic, scored more than a 9, and has 1 protagonist.
Oh. Joe, it's your turn, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Is this game a third-person viewpoint game?
Yes, it is. 10 questions.
Is this game Metal Gear Solid 4?
It is not. It's 11 questions.
It was this game developed in Japan?
Yes. 12 questions.
That's a good early question that we should have thought of.
Is this game Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker?
No.
I can't think of many Japanese games that have got that high of a score, and it's third person.
They're out there.
Was this game developed in part by a famous developer?
Yeah.
Is this game part of the Strand genre?
No.
Ah, oh, so many choices chopped down.
We gave it over a 9.
Oh yeah.
That's 15 questions, 6 more. You can narrow this down within 6 questions. You've got Japanese on a PlayStation console, mm-hmm. third person, one protagonist, over a 9 score. You don't eat things. It's not Capcom.
Famous dev.
No.
15 questions.
Is it
Joe next?
Bayonetta.
It is not Bayonetta. 16 questions.
Is this game Silent Hill 2?
It is not Silent Hill 2. 17 questions. You could still you could take a couple. You could narrow this down a bit. You don't know what you do in this game at all. Except you don't eat.
Oh man.
Come on, Joe. Hold on.
Is this a game in the Resident Evil series?
No. 18.
Is this game in the Persona series?
No.
But you eat food in that? Fuck. Kill me.
Two more. Do you know what? You can have one more question each and then one more guess each.
Okay.
These are the rules.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
Famous Japanese developer.
Why you don't eat food?
What game is it? Why is the food thing so big for you?
I'm just hungry.
Oh god. Is this game an RPG?
No.
I don't know if I asked this. It might have been a previous one. Can you drive vehicles in this game?
No.
Oh. Right, that goes
grand. You've got a guess each. Yeah. I'm not going to. I know you went a bit blasé at the start, but these have been poor questions.
Japan one was good. Come on. What famous developer feels guess. Like it should bring it down so much. And
there's not that many famous Japanese developers
I know.
Who developed for PlayStation. There are a couple you could go wrong with.
Oh, man. I don't know, man.
I think a lot of people will be screaming the wrong one at this point. Because there's a lot of clues that could mean it's a... Actually, no, because it's not an RPG.
I seriously cannot think of a game that isn't an RPG.
Are we giving up?
No, yeah. Aladdin by Shinji Mikami.
No, it was, and you may kid yourself, Shadow of the Colossus.
Bugger!
Unlucky boys. You know what? You didn't really save face at all, Jesse. But, you know, better luck next time.
Yeah, just congratulations to Joe. Fantastic.
2-0 to Joe.
Thank you.
Fantastic person.
I enjoyed that. It's a good, fun game. There's a reason it's played at parties around the world.
All those parties happening around the world right now.
Yep. Let's go straight into some feedback. Actually, there's more to Ollie's email, which is a bit of feedback in itself, so I'll carry on. But thank you for the suggestion, Ollie, because we had fun. He would like to say, also would like the group's thought on games mechanics where a simple idea has a twist. The two that stand out to me is the active reload in mm-hmm. Gears. a mini game for Silent you do hundreds of times in the game, and the barbershop QTE in Shenmue, where you need to not press the button to show your focus or some bullshit. That really pissed me off for hours as I was pressing the button as quick as possible. I have no idea what that is, the barbershop.
I've never played Shenmue because it sounds so boring.
Jesse,
I mean, I think I did play that specific segment, and essentially, I think you're having to learn different, like, fighting abilities, and one of them probably is to, like, stay focused, and you instinctively press the button when you see a quick time event. I guess in this one, you just put your controller down, because why would you touch it? So, yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to look that up because it sounds a bit mad. Ollie says, keep up the good work, and R-E-S-P-E-C spelt like the C, T. It's very clever. Respect the C, yeah, C within yeah. respect. I like it.
Mm. I think we got a message from someone this week who, I don't know whether they were joking or not, seemed to think that we were respecting the letter C.
It's one of the best out there.
It's an important one. Letter as well.
It's a good one. Not a good score in Scrabble, but God, can you make a lot of words from it. Got a favourite word beginning in C, Jesse? Don't say it.
What? What are you thinking of? What word are you...
You were thinking.
No, I was
thinking the word crimes.
Crimes.
Also, to Ollie's point, I've thought of a small twist on a simple idea. I won't say what it is, but the end of Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons has a single button press that can make you cry. It's fucking amazing.
That game. I might replay that because I'm feeling like I want to cry.
I feel like I want a little weep.
Yeah, thank you, Ollie. You've got some feedback, Jesse.
Yes, from Anthony Clegg. He says, last week you judged the man who ate dry Weetabix, understandably, but it reminded me of when I was a kid and I'd spread butter on Weetabix and eat it like a cracker. Don't know if this is normal for Yorkshire or I'm just fucking freak. I mean, you've answered your question, and it's the latter.
My girlfriend's from Yorkshire. I have never heard of the Weetabix cracker butter continuum.
I lived in Yorkshire for 3 years. I never saw this occur on any street corner.
I'm sorry to say, Anthony Clegg, that you are a fucking freak.
It's just too dry, man. It needs to be with some sort of liquid.
I mean, it depends on how much butter you're putting on. Like, it wouldn't be dry if you absolutely slathered it in butter.
Is it like the mini Weetabix? Because if you're eating those dry, that's more understandable, because sometimes they have stuff
in them.
Chocolate
chips, and that's fine.
Yeah, but if it's the big fucking, like, brick going in your mouth with a bit of butter, then
I'm not buttering my cereal. No matter how much you ask me, I'm not buttering my cereal.
Just really gross.
Did either of you
buy some
watch...
bread? It's probably cheaper than cereal.
Yeah, it's cheaper than Weetabix for sure, and tastier. Did either of you watch the New Year's Bake Off?
No.
During which it was revealed that former winner Rahul prefers eating entire slabs of butter to eating chocolate. He just prefers the taste of butter to chocolate.
That's really fucking gross.
Just eating the stick.
Yeah. I kind of get it. I do like butter on bread.
I couldn't do it. Yeah, I feel like after a couple of mouthfuls, I'd start to feel
it's
sick.
So oily.
Yeah.
Depends what butter it is, though, perhaps.
I mean, maybe there's a butter stuffed with stuff in
it. Would you prefer to eat the butter like a stick, like a lollipop like that, or melt it down and drink it?
Mm. Oh, that both sounds disgusting.
Depends how much. Have you, you know when you get, like in a really fancy, like steak restaurant, you get those little circle, like spheres of butter that have garlic and herbs in them? I just eat one of those. I could easily eat one of those as like a little candy.
I don't know if I could. I need the like bread or something with it.
I mean, I do make use of all the melted butter when I'm eating a lobster, but, you know.
How often are you eating lobster, mate?
Fairly often.
Got one in the back. Yeah. Pumbling away.
If you two are a freak and butter your cereal, do let us know at IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com.
Imagine buttering individual cornflakes.
What is the weirdest thing you've ever buttered? I want that feedback.
Good. I like that one. What is the weirdest thing you've ever buttered?
No body parts.
Mother.
Keep it clean.
I actually have an answer to this.
Go on.
Once I ran out of bread and I was really hungry, so I just put together a ham and cheese sandwich with no bread and a bit of butter on the underside of the cheese. So, you know, I ran out of bread.
Sandwich.
Huh? Yeah.
So you basically just put some butter in between the ham and cheese?
Yeah. So that's...
Oh,
that's,
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So a breadless sandwich is what...
Yeah, yeah. It was like a naked sandwich, you know?
I kind of like that.
That could work.
That's what happens when you don't have any bread. You need to improvise.
To butter things that aren't like bread or crumpets or something, really. Maybe I'm boring. Maybe I need to live a bit.
Maybe you just need to drink butter.
I've got some feedback here from Daniel, who says, "Hi guys, thank you for all the entertainment. I've been listening since the podcast was in double figures." That's a long time ago.
The baby recent Alex discussion was on it.
I am a little baby Alex. The recent discussion about cereal, and in particular eating it dry, got me thinking. I am lactose intolerant, and so have never had the option of milk for my cereal. Nowadays, there are a lot of good milk alternatives, but back in the late 80s and early 90s, the options were pretty grim. I can only imagine. I've got some nice Alpro soya milk in the fridge right now, and I do actually prefer it to actual milk, I think. You know, another feedback topic for everyone there. I've therefore got into the habit, and this does, you know, I know there weren't many options to you, Daniel, so I do sympathize, but this to me sounds absolutely vile. I got into the habit of having my cereal with fruit juice.
Jesus Christ.
I wonder if anyone else has done this. I would rather butter my feet. I'd rather.
And you didn't answer the weird buttery question.
I'd rather butter my Weetabix than have it in apple juice.
Did we not have someone else email in and say that they put Sunny D on cornflakes?
I saw that was in the previous podcast that I was in.
Oh, was it?
I think so. Have
we got like truly freakish listeners? Like, is that what we attract?
That has to be.
Is this what we're doing our jobs for?
Because it has to be.
If this is the kind of clientele we've got, I don't want to talk.
It must be a product of just, like you said, the late 80s, early 90s, because that's just fucked. You're better off just having some water.
I know you're probably hooked on it now, but I could never do it. But like I said, there's a lot of good nut milk. There's a lot of good
hazelnut milk is spot on.
Yeah. I wish maybe try it. Wasn't called nut milk, but beyond that,
But yeah, I can't imagine like what juice specifically are we talking about? I could kind of something more like an apple or like a peach or a pear would be better. Something really citric though, like an orange.
Is there nut juice?
I can't imagine that.
Is there nut juice? Because then that would make
more
sense.
Nut juice.
Instead of having apple orange juice.
I think you know what you're asking.
If you had almond juice.
I'm not having that on my cereal.
What if there's almond juice?
I am not having nut juice on my Weetabix.
I am, you're right. I am super interested in what the juice is. Because imagine cranberry juice.
Can you email back in and tell us? Because this is really important.
And what cereal are we talking here? Like, are we having, Weetabix. Beetos with mango juice? I don't know.
That genuinely sounds all right.
Maybe the sweeter the cereal,
chocolate and mango. That could work.
That does sound. No, but I don't want to put myself in their shoes. I don't want to experience juice and cereal. No, that's something they did back in the day.
No.
Daniel, email back. Tell us what the cereal was, what the juice is, and if you're currently incarcerated.
And what the best combo is and what the worst combo is.
Yeah. That's a good one. Oh, yeah. What if he's done loads of experiments? And then gone to jail. Right. I've got one from Alex Moore. He begins, "Oi, oi, have a lie." That's not how you say it, but that's how I would say it. Brilliant podcast. Cracks me up how you can talk about the toys in cereal boxes to dedicating an episode to sandwiches. And if you have time, squeeze in a bit of gaming talk. Correct. Firstly, last week when you were talking about someone drinking too much Sunny D and they turned yellow. I heard on another podcast that the person who this happened to... I love that we're just reporting other bits of podcasting on our podcast now. I heard on another podcast that the person who this happened to came forward and emailed in saying that she messed with her mum's fake tan but didn't admit it. And after having loads of doctor's appointments, they came to the conclusion that it was Sunny D that caused it. Make of that what you will. That's the quick summary and hope it helps. Alex? Sort of. I do have a question, and I hope it hasn't been asked before. If you could pick a world in a game to live in, and the job, so I guess a job of a game, what would you pick? For example, the bloke that builds the house in Red Dead 2 in the first town. Sounds boring, but with your guys' expertise of spiralling scenarios out of control, I'm sure you'll make this an exciting listen. For the love of all things green and fluffy.
Don't get me wrong, Red Dead 2 is a cool place to be, but I don't want to be the guy building a house.
Absolutely. I don't want to be in Red Dead 2. It's horrible.
A bear just comes out and destroys your face with TNT and shit. That doesn't sound fun.
I'd like to be the guy who owns the tailors in Saint Denis, you know?
What, constantly get shot in the face by random players? Yeah.
Forgot about that. What about the train driver?
People kill him all the time as well. Everyone doing an interesting thing in that game can and will be killed.
I'd just be one of the poker players. Professional poker player.
But they get shot for cheating. So
no.
Shot, stabbed occasionally.
I'm gonna... My instant gut was, and I know I say this game a lot, Persona 5, because I'm basically just living in Tokyo, and I'd love to do that right now, because God, I'm bored of this house.
Yeah, that's it. Which job would you do in the Persona world?
I would be Kawakami, the teacher who is at day a teacher or at night a maid.
Oh yeah, that's a bit odd, isn't it?
No, I wouldn't do that. What's his name? The professional arcade player you meet later on in the game. Yeah. Mm. Or my favourite, Hifumi, the professional chess. It's not called chess, is it? What's the Japanese chess like game?
Oh,
Clickety click.
Shogi.
Shogi.
I'd be her. She's a Shogi champion. That's what I'd be.
Fair enough. It's pretty good answers.
Who in Resi would you be, Jesse?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't go for Resi, but I have two pretty chill answers. One of them would be a shopkeeper in The Elder Scrolls Oblivion, because that game looks fairly comfy and is relaxing. Mm-hmm. Or the airsoft guy in Persona 5. Just run a shop, because that's just wicked.
You love airsoft. I didn't realize how into airsoft you were. But you keep buying guns.
I love my firearms.
I've completely botched this.
Yeah.
Pokemon trainer in Pokemon.
Oh, buttered feet.
It would be good. Buttering your feet in Pokemon world. Who would I be? I'd quite like to be one of the pirates in Skies of Arcadia. It looks really nice in Skies of Arcadia.
Do they get shot at?
I mean, they get shot at, but it's all quite cartoony. It feels like no one actually has that many problems. And they've got laser beams and that.
What about Cooking Mama?
You're living your life in a kitchen forever.
I think Cooking Mama's miserable.
Yeah.
I think she's hiding deep sadness behind that grid.
What is she buttering?
Well, what isn't she buttering?
Good question. Please do send us feedback again at IGN_UKPIGN.com. Cooking Mama hiding?
Yeah, what's Cooking Mama hiding? One of the little robots in Astrobot, they always seem to be having a lovely
having a
time.
Lovely,
absolutely rolling around. Very pleasant. A grand old business.
Hmm.
Fantastic. That's a good question, though. And I'd like to hear more about that, you know, alongside all the nonsense of butter and fruit juice on cereal and stuff like that.
What body part have you buttered? Let us know.
We just want anything that's been buttered. I will accept margarine as well. We're not going out to other spreads just yet. Let's focus down for now.
I did only find out not too long ago that Bertolli is not considered a butter. And that's the only kind of butter I've been having
all my life.
It's
olive oil.
It's an delicious.
I tend to have margarine. In my house, we have Flora buttery a lot. So
you got Lurpak
only.
Yeah.
If I'm not eating Lurpak, I'm not fucking buttering it. That should be their next thing. Get rid of the little man with a trombone. Have me in it, screaming at the screen about Lurpak.
Good.
Feedback's going to be fucked next week.
We've ruined the inbox.
What music shall we have? Is Mario 2 easy?
Oh no, some of the 3D world music is amazing. I'm going to find the one I like best.
Yeah, we're going to listen to Joe's choice of 3D world music is what we're going to have.
It already sounds so good.
I hope you have a lovely week, and I hope you enjoy your butter.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye yourselves.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out the Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.